It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Worship and Wellness Broadcast. We'd like to say happy Sabbath to everyone. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24, and the Bible says in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God is good. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to come together on your holy Sabbath day. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to be looked at and protected over the night. Thank you for your loving watch care. And now as we open up your word, we ask for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know. We ask for the anointing words to be granted to our pastor and for you to fill him with your spirit as you help us always to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
it's about
Yes, it is about time for Jesus to come, my friends. There is a song, I forget all the words, but it says, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear now are at stake." I forget all the rest of it, brothers and sisters, but the bottom line is that's what we're seeing. When you see there's only two major political parties. When you see one not even knowing what a woman is and what a man is, and using the Constitution to justify their conduct. When you see the other justifying an attack on the Capitol, using the Constitution in support of the action. Friends, the whole goal from both of these parties is to confuse us as to what the Constitution is. The Constitution is not the Bible, but it is something that God inspired. He inspired men to write this document because it guarantees the civil freedoms and the religious freedom, which God is all about. God's all about freedom. Let's pray. Continue to bless us, Father, as we continue to praise you, continue to honor you, and continue to love you. We ask for your continued grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to understand that we are close to that time. So it says, Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. We're reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, and our topic is Peter's ladder. That's just a high point in the chapter. So he calls himself a servant. He calls himself an apostle to those who have obtained like precious faith. Now, the apostle Peter was an apostle to the Jews. We all have a special calling, and some of us are called to strengthen the brethren, okay? We're all called to do evangelism, but some of us do more strengthening of the brethren, those who are already in the faith. That's what Peter did. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. His main target market, if we could call it that, in the gospel arena, was to reach those who had not heard the truth. We need both, brothers and sisters. And you'll notice he continually talks about bringing in remembrance things in this chapter. All right, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his divine power, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, from time to time, we continually talk about the error that is often taught, once saved, always say that we don't have to obey, we can't overcome sin, all of these things. Listen carefully to the words. The Bible is full of preaching and teaching that shows that that's a false doctrine. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So, brothers and sisters, everything we need for eternal life and everything we need to be godly is given to us. Therefore, there is no excuse for sin, my friends. And it even says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. Glory is character, and virtue is high moral standard. That would be definitely keeping the law, because it's a moral law. Notice what it says. This is a very important verse. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, a lot of people don't use this verse as Peter's ladder, but this begins Peter's ladder. The precious promises that by those you might be partakers. We are able to take part of a divine nature and escape corrupting lust. Okay? By the promises. You know, we sing the song, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout, and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. So, brothers and sisters, we need to stop sitting on the premises and start standing on the promises. Because we have these promises, they make us take part of a new nature, a divine nature. This is the science of victory. You've got to claim the promises of God. And when we stand on those promises, the Bible says we partake. That means we take part in a new nature, a divine nature. And it allows us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Peter's ladder begins with promises, okay? That's beginning Peter's ladder. How do I know this? It said, and beside this. Peter's ladder usually use the word add to your, and then add to your blank blank, and then add to your blank blank, and then add. But it begins by telling us that we have these promises, and beside this, that means in addition to this, that means you're adding. And beside this, that means it's in addition to giving all diligence. See, that's what a lot of people don't do. We just have a namby-pamby weak faith and walk with God. Friends, we need to be strong. We need to be strong in promises, in obedience to the Lord, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Now, notice this. He didn't even tell us add faith to the promises, because when you claim the promises, that's what faith is, okay? So verse 4 is really the embodiment of faith, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's not a faith that is feeling. It's not a faith that just believes without action. You have actually escaped corruption. That means you've used the promises to overcome the devil. That is faith, brothers and sisters. Faith is believing and acting on the word of God. That's what faith is. Okay? So, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, which was in the previous verse, virtue. Now, virtue is high moral standard. So we are continually to strive to be holy, brothers and sisters. I didn't say holier than thou. I didn't say so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I just said that we should add faith. To our faith, we add virtue. That's high moral standard. Brothers and sisters, as a Christian, people should expect that we would have a pure heart. As a Christian, people should expect that we would have righteous motives. They should expect that we would keep our word. They should expect that we would be reliable, okay? Temperate, godly people. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You never stop learning. That's what's wrong with the educational system today. They think that you arrive when you get a bachelor's degree, and you arrive again at the master's degree, and the furthest point that you can arrive at is your doctorate degree, and there's nothing more to learn. You have reached, they call it terminal degree. Well, you better watch out, brothers and sisters, because I'm telling you something, terminal might kill you, okay? So what we need to understand is God says we keep adding knowledge. And so in God's educational plan, you never stop learning. You never get the only PhD you get is praise him daily, okay? That's what PhD would mean in the gospel. So we're constantly adding to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 at this point. So we've got to keep learning. Now, learning knowledge is truth. The right knowledge is truth. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Brothers and sisters, we live in a society that people aren't interested in learning what truth is. They're interested in pushing an agenda. Usually it's a personal one or a political agenda. We don't stop and say, okay, let me just stop and say, what is truth? Okay, and that's why we have so many different denominations. Do you know the Bible is the only book that has thousands of different sects and denominations that say they are following that same book, and yet they're teaching a whole bunch of different things? Now, am I here to claim and say, hey, I have all the truth? No, that would be bigotry. But I can say, brothers and sisters, that I have surrendered my heart to God, and I will let God show us and I will teach only what the Bible said. And because I teach only what the Bible said, it's unpopular what we teach. We teach that thus the heavens and the earth were finished. This is Genesis 2:1, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day, and he sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You see, that's when you have knowledge, you must teach truth. And the truth is the holy time of the week is Saturday, not Sunday. And to be technical, it is the evening and the morning. The Bible said in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, you see, we're bound to teach the truth when we have faith and we add to our faith, to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. You must teach the truth and ye shall know. Knowledge, know is the root of knowledge. And you shall know, John 8:32, the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My brothers and sisters, because we believe that we have to teach truth in our knowledge, we don't teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven. Let me tell you why. Because it's not in the Bible. The Bible said the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. That's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:5. Jesus, when he talked about Lazarus being able to see him again, Martha, who was Jesus's student, she said, "Yes, Master, I know that he shall arise again at the last day." That means that she had been listening to Christ's teaching, and she knew that her brother would rise again when Jesus comes again. Okay, but he said to her, "I'm going to show you something special. I can do it whenever I want to." And she raised up Lazarus from the dead at that time. Okay, because that was an important blessing. Jesus sometimes raised people from the dead. That was not the final raising from the dead when the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You see? So and even Jesus himself, let's go to the book of John, John 5:28 and 29. John 5, the Bible says, "Marvel not at this." This is Jesus is talking. "For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." So where are they now? They're not in heaven. They're in the grave. "And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The Bible teaches there are two separate resurrections, brothers and sisters. The first resurrection happens when Jesus comes in the clouds. Let me read it to you. We're reading now from 1 Thessalonians. Help me, Jesus. There it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we start with verse 13. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. We're talking about adding to virtue knowledge. There's a lot of people preaching, but they're not preaching true knowledge. Knowledge is truth, brothers and sisters. The Bible said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, the majority of churches, particularly churches that worship on Sunday, brothers and sisters, we're not condemning anybody. We're just making it truthful. They teach that what this means is that those who've gone to heaven are going to come back down, and then they're going to get in their caskets again, and then they're going to get with all the dirt and all the worms, and then they don't say all that. But when you really understand what would happen, because the Bible says they shall come forth from the grave. Jesus said all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. The Bible said we shall be changed in a moment. That means we're changed in the same moment. So that would mean that they couldn't be in heaven because we all get the change at the same moment. That's 1 Corinthians 15:51. I'm just talking about truth, brothers and sisters, and how we're bound. I'm not claiming that I know all the truth, but the truth that we do know, we teach, and we don't just bypass these truths in Scripture because they're important. You see, the devil's going to use spiritualism in the last days to deceive people. What is spiritualism? It is the belief that when you're dead, you're not really dead. Therefore, he can bring the spirits of dead people, which are nothing but fallen angels. Demons are nothing but fallen angels, but they can disguise themselves. The Bible says the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. And so people will be deceived in the last days, brothers and sisters, by these apparitions of their dead relatives. It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not your grandmother. It's a devil. It's a demon. It's a fallen angel impersonating her. That's why we should not get involved in any way, shape, or form in the occult. That's why we need to encourage preachers to stop lying to people when they have the funerals used to be called funerals. They're now called homegoing. That is, any funeral I preach that I'm in charge of the officiating and setup of it, we don't call it a homegoing because you're not going home. You're going to the grave to rest until Jesus comes. But guess what? You don't have to deal with this wicked world. You know, the Bible says the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hatred is now perished. But there is hope. They will rise again. And here's the important point, brothers and sisters. Anybody that loses anybody special to them, you don't have to wait a long time. This world is crazy. Jesus is coming very soon. As I mentioned to you earlier in the message, how the Democrats, the Republicans, which are the two primary parties in the United States of America, they're confusing the Constitution. Why? Because you must confuse the Constitution to have the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? I'll read it to you. If you didn't know, give me just a second, and I will read it to you because we already know who the beast is. In Bible prophecy, the beast of Revelation 13 is the Roman Catholic Church. What is the mark of the beast? Let them tell us. They say Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. The mark of the beast is the worship of God on Sunday being enforced by law. You have to read Revelation 13 to understand that. But that's what it means. I'm just giving you the meaning, and I can prove it to you in the scriptures. Notice what the Catholic Church said, the beast of Revelation 13. Of course, and by the way, Baptists used to believe they were the beast of Revelation 13. Methodists used to believe it and teach it. Lutherans used to believe it and teach it. Episcopalians used to believe it and teach it. Okay? Almost every Protestant denomination used to believe and teach that the Roman Catholic Church is that beast. They didn't know what the mark was, but they knew who the beast was because it persecuted God's people. It killed people who followed the Bible for 1,260 years. If you were caught with a scripture in your pocket, you would be burnt at the stake. Parents were burnt at the stake for teaching their children the Lord's Prayer in a common language like English, because the Bible can only be spoken by the priest in Latin, and the people didn't know Latin, okay? It says, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change Saturday, Sabbath to Sunday was her act. And the act is a mark. What is it? A mark. What is it? A mark of what? Her ecclesiastical authority. That means they say our authority to be the chief church and to command everybody to do what we say is due to the fact that we have the power to change the actual day of worship that God set up that's not in the Bible, but because we're above the Bible, that is our proof of authority. So when you keep Sunday, brothers and sisters, you are giving honor to these people who have persecuted the people of God. Now, please understand, a system that has persecuted the people of God. Some of the most devout Christian people are Roman Catholic, and they just don't know the truth yet. You've got to tell them, my friends. I've got to tell them. We've got to get the message out. I want to give you one more, friend. Is not every Christian obliged? And let me read. These were Catholic references. The first one was Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1, 1923. The second was from H.F. Thomas. He was the chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons. And now this one is coming directly from Cardinal Gibbons in Faith of Our Fathers, the 1917 edition, page 72 and 73. It says, it's not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work. Is not the observance of this law among the most prominent of our sacred duties? This is the Roman Catholic Church talking. Now, we know they're telling a lie because that day is Saturday Sabbath, starting with sunset Friday, sunset Saturday. Notice what Cardinal Gibbons said. But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. That's Cardinal Gibbons, Faith of Our Father. Brothers and sisters, if you follow the Bible and you want to go grow in knowledge, you've got to teach truth. You can't just teach whatever you want. So this is what it says. going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. That phrase, even so, that means in the same way it happened to Jesus, is the same way. See, if I say, you're going to be able to, I eat, and you're going to eat even so as I ate. That means the same way I'm eating, you're going to eat. Okay? So Jesus went into the tomb, and then he rose. When Mary came to touch him, he said, touch me not, I have not yet ascended to my Father. So he did not go to heaven at that time, because he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. There's all kind of crazy doctrines out there talking about Jesus went preaching to the spirits in prison. The Bible said that was in Noah's day. That was the people that were being preached to when it was almost time to rain for 120 years. You're in prison when you don't know truth. Truth sets you what? Free. So if you don't know truth, guess what? You're in bondage. So when that scripture that talks about Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison in the days of Noah when the ark was a preparing, that's talking about the people that God, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and Noah's preaching, was Jesus always was. He didn't start off as a babe in Bethlehem. He's from eternity, brothers and sisters. So he was back there. He was back then. So it's not a strange thing to say Jesus was preaching to the spirits in prison. That means the people that did not accept Jesus and accept the knowledge of truth, Jesus was preaching to them, giving them one last chance. And because of worldliness, brothers and sisters, worldliness will cause you to lose your soul. Worldliness kept a whole world of people except eight. It's not going to be a lot of people, brothers and sisters, that are saved compared to the masses. It is a remnant, brothers and sisters. It is a small number. Now, that number can still be millions of people compared to the total amount of people in the world. I said millions. I don't know what it's going to be, billions. I don't know. The point being made is that don't expect that the crowd, the majority, are going to – let me tell you what the majority is doing. The majority is out there picketing and saying it's all right to kill babies. Now, they don't like that I say that. But the reality is that's what they're saying. The Bible says differently. See, that's what I'm talking about, knowledge. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, behold, I formed thee in the belly. When I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee a prophet. It says before I formed thee in the belly. So that means when you were first conceived, before you were even formed as a fetus, God said, I know you, and I ordained you as a prophet. He didn't say prophetess. So that means your identity, your gender, and your life work was ordained even before you formed and your heart was formed and your brain was formed. So, brothers and sisters, if that's true, then you are murdering a child when you get an abortion. See, we want to just have free reign. And please understand, I recognize that there is this small minority of cases where people seek abortions after a sexual assault like rape, those kinds of things. But the vast majority of people, that's not what they're picketing about. They want to have free, unprotected sex, and they claim that it's part of their constitutional right. Fornication is not a constitutional right. All right, it's not. Being black, being discriminated because of the color of your skin, or white and being discriminated because of the skin, color of your skin, or Asian or whatever. That's different. Being a woman and being discriminated because of your gender. That's different. But if you choose to do and say you're something other than what God made you, and we just read in Jeremiah 1:5, he ordained you a prophet to Jeremiah, that means he did. Some would have been ordained a prophetess if they were female, because they were female prophetesses. Okay? Then you're claiming that's a civil right to change your gender. It's not a civil right to change your gender. Everybody was all happy, brothers and sisters, when we had a black Supreme Court justice, female black Supreme Court justice. I shouldn't say everybody was happy. A lot of people were happy. Black people and women were happy about that. But brothers and sisters, she wouldn't answer a question. The simple question was, what is a woman? And you're asking to be put as the highest judge, one of a team on the team of the highest judicial authority in this nation, and you don't know what a woman is. Friends, all I'm trying to tell you, I love her because we love everybody. But the point is, Jesus is coming soon. That's the point. We don't even know what a woman is. We don't even know what a man is these days. How are we gonna be ready for Jesus to come and live in heaven? There's not going to be homosexuality in heaven, brothers and sisters. It's not going to be there. There's not going to be racism in heaven. It's not going to be there. There's not going to be rioting in heaven. It's not going to be there. See, heaven is based on truth. We have now degraded society so that it's based on if you get the majority of numbers and you can shout the loudest, then you'll turn the tide of the vote, of the judge, of the justice, if you got enough numbers. And so popular opinion is what sways, and money. Popular opinion and money is what sways decisions these days. But God has a people who are going to get this truth out, brothers and sisters. Okay, we have a long way to go. The bottom line is I wanted to share that even so. What we're going to do today for our worship service, if you want to join us for worship on Zoom. I'll be posting. We're going to be going over the truth, the beautiful truth about what happens when we die, friends. That's what we're going to be talking about for our Sabbath service. To some of you, it may be a review, but brothers and sisters, this is what Peter said. We're putting you in remembrance, you see. But the bottom line is we hope that a lot of people on Facebook will come and join us on that Zoom call because you need to know what the Bible says. We will be covering even some of the difficult scriptures to understand, rich man and Lazarus, the witch of Endor who brought up Samuel, you see. We're going to talk about all those things for our Sabbath service. So join us today. All right, friends. The bottom line is, verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We don't have time to talk about it right now, but there are two resurrections that I just mentioned to you in John. There's the resurrection of life. There's the resurrection of damnation. And Revelation 20 tells us they're 1,000 years apart. So the wicked dead do not rise, for the most part, in the first resurrection. That's why it's called the first resurrection, because there is a second. You don't want to rise up 1,000 years too late. It will be for those to rise up to receive sentence, brothers and sisters. You see, we're going to learn hellfire is not burning right now. That's a lie also told from the Roman Catholic Church to try to control people. All right, we're going back to 1 Peter. All right? 2 Peter, I'm sorry. We were talking about knowledge. We might not even get to the health message today, my friends, but the bottom line is that we add to our virtue knowledge. Knowledge is the truth. I just gave you some samplings of the truth, truths that the world let go of. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance is abstaining from harmful things and doing in moderation that which is good. So when you live a temperate life, you don't drink. You don't smoke, whether cigarettes or cigars. You don't drink alcohol. You don't indulge in caffeine-rich beverages, okay? Stimulants. You don't take crack cocaine, heroin, tobacco. We talked about smoking, okay? That's living a temperate. You don't overeat because temperance is abstaining from that which is harmful and doing in moderation that which is good. So eating is good, but overeating is not good. Friends, it'll take you out of here. You keep overeating, you build up all this cholesterol and fat, and eventually there's going to be a breaking point. Okay? So it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these you are partakers of the divine nature, of the divine nature. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. That's where we were. And to temperance patience. You see, a lot of us are impatient. We snap. We have the patience of a firecracker. We have no patience. A lot of times that's because we're not temperate. If you don't have calm nerves, which comes from a temperate life, if your nerves were always on edge, I just saw a documentary yesterday and a young lady, she was under so much pressure. She said, before I had to go into an interview, I smoked 15 cigarettes. That's only causing you more stress later, okay? You need B vitamins that will keep you calm. See, cigarettes actually, this is our health message, cigarettes mimic what B vitamins do. They calm you. All drugs simply mimic what something healthy does. some drugs pick you up. Well, God's healthy diet and lifestyle picks you up. So cocaine might be a stimulant to pick you up. It does it without giving you nutrition. See, that's what's dangerous about it. So when your body says, I need a pickup, it starts saying, ooh, I need cocaine instead of collard greens, okay? That's what the brain does. And so you end up with an addiction because you're needing that feeling again. When you need calmness, you're used to smoking or taking some heroin or morphine or Oxycontin pills or whatever. Your body gets tricked by the drug to say, okay, I get that from a pill or I get that from a smoke instead of I get that from eating whole grains, okay? So we've got to be temperate. And to temperance, patience. That's what it says. You can't be patient unless you're temperate. And to patience, godliness. Friends, we need to be like God. In all things, we should be like Jesus. Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. Nothing in this world enthralls me. I would be like Jesus. Be like, listen carefully to this. Be like Jesus, this my song. Where? In the home and in the throng. You catch that? You got to be like Jesus to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your parents, brothers and sisters. And then when you go out to the world. See, some of us can fake it in the world, but we come back and beat our wives or yell at our husbands. No, if you're like Jesus, it says, be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. My friends, we've got to be like Jesus all day long. You can't fake it till you make it. This world is a test. It is a probationary period to see who has accepted the gospel. Because if we don't enjoy a holy life here, heaven would be torture. And God's not going to torture you. That's a lie that came from Roman Catholicism. They teach that God tortures people in hell forever. It doesn't. That's not true. But guess what? If you don't like heavenly things, it would be torture for God to bring you to heaven. He's not going to torture you. If we don't enjoy heavenly things and heavenly themes today in this world, on this earth, God can't bring us to heaven. So he's trying to help us understand the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Brothers and sisters, turn your eyes upon Jesus, is that song. And so it says, patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness. You know, a lot of us are not kind people. We should be the most kind people. Christians, true Christians, should be the most kind people on the face of the earth. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, it comes from the heart, love from the heart, friends. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from old sin. See, Bible's not teaching we continue to sin till Jesus comes. We're purged. It says he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. That means you keep doing it because you forgot that God cleansed you of that. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If we follow Peter's ladder, we have victory over sin. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He's talking to church members. I'm talking to church members, and I may be talking to some that aren't in the same church, but to the church members, there are themes that we need to go over again and again and again because we need to be kept in remembrance of these things, though we know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. He said, listen, I'm going to be dying soon, but God wants me to keep you in remembrance while I have breath. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. And there came such a voice from heaven, from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. I love this. It ends by keeping us in the word. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts, in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no, here's why there's so many churches, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You can't interpret the scripture as a Baptist. You can't interpret the scripture as a Seventh-day Adventist. You can't interpret the scripture as a Methodist. You can't interpret the scripture as a Presbyterian. You can't interpret the scripture privately in any way. The scripture interprets itself. And that's why people don't know the truth, friends, because they try to interpret. You can't interpret the scriptures from a feminist point of view. You can't interpret the scriptures from a progressive modern point of view, so that you take a modern spin on this and call these other things ancient and archaic. You see? No, it's not for private interpretation. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the true author of the entire Bible, friends, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Holy men are the penmen, okay? And it is in their own vernacular, in their own style, but the word is the word of God. This is the message that we have for you today, my friends. God is good. What we're going to do, we're not going to have the health message for today. We're close to the 15 minutes at the top of the hour. And because we opened the phone line, we'll open them up for a little while. We have family in town, brothers and sisters. My two of my sisters are in town to see my beloved mother and us too. And we're glad that they're here. So we will be having church at 12. We'll have a nice study on that subject, friends, what happens when we die, and covering a lot of things. So we have a lot of ground to cover. Join us. Some of you know these things, but, you know, you should come and get this put in remembrance if you do know it. 557-587-3947. I'll go ahead and punch that in and give you the password, but it will also be posted on my timeline. Let me see here if I can get this thing to work. Okay, we got 557, and then we've got 587, and then we have 3947. That's the Zoom. That's the Zoom ID. Okay, that's Zoom, and then the password is Torso. That's T-O-R-S-O-E, but it's in all small letters. Let me see if I can make it right. Okay, there you have it. So those of you on Facebook, you've got 557-587-3947, but I will post a link on Facebook that you can just click on and join us. That's 12 Eastern time. You don't want to miss it, friends. We're going to have a nice, nice, nice study together. All right, my friends, God is good. We're going to go ahead and sign out. We will open the phone lines for a little while during the service, so we're not going to open them today. But I will do roll call. We have on Facebook North Carolina represented. We have Virginia represented. We have Louisiana represented. And on the call, we have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. And we have New Jersey. We have Ohio. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. Join us for church, my friends, on Zoom. May God bless each one of you and keep you. I'm going to ask my wife, Michelle, to have our closing prayer.
Father, we thank you for this time of worship. And now as we continue in these sacred hours of holiness, we ask for your spirit to continue to abide with us. Bless every heart in a special way. And may we spend time individually putting and pressing forth those petitions that we need you to answer for us and to help us with, Lord. We thank you for all that you do, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, my brothers and sisters, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate.
And within 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.